Grace and peace to you. May your soul magnify the Lord just as Mary's did that day. I'll read for you Psalm 103 so you have some familiarity with it, and then I'll reference it later in the sermon. Notice all the times blessing, the word bless gets used. It gets used right at the beginning, and then it gets used at the end, so it's kind of got this shell of blessing around it. Then just notice all the grace. When I get to the center of the psalm, you're going to recognize it. You're going to recognize verses 8 to 12. It's really basically a psalm of all gospel. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Now here's some benefits get listed for us. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. Here comes the familiar verses. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Now comes the section where we acknowledge how lowly we are. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. Here's the verse that Mary quotes. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. There's a young girl. She's 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade. An angel appears to her. You're going to give birth to the Savior of the world. How can this be? The Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. I imagine Mary as that person at church who you don't know their name, nondescript, to themselves, in and out, lowly, humble. You got to imagine how hard it must have been to try and process this. And so God provides for her Elizabeth. They're related. And Elizabeth has her own promised child, John the Baptist. She's old, just like Sarah was old when she gave birth to Isaac. She's kind of the New Testament version of Sarah. And so Mary is heading to Elizabeth's house. And as soon as she enters the door, something happens for Elizabeth, and Elizabeth relays it to Mary. It lets Mary know, I'm in the company of someone that I can let loose. I can let my hair down, so to speak. She can handle all this information. In fact, she seems to know it already. And then Mary lets loose. She breaks out into song. But before I do that, I want to grab what Elizabeth says. Blessed, blessed, blessed. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Blessed are you that you would believe what God proclaimed to you. Mary's going to be the most famous person in the world besides Jesus. Her name will never be forgotten. A sixth grader, a seventh grader, an eighth grader? Blessed is the fruit of your womb, the Savior of the world. And then blessed are you that you believed that what God proclaimed to you would come true. Every one of those blessednesses comes by grace. Why did God pick Mary? By grace. Did Mary get to decide what the fruit of her womb was going to be? God did that. God made God be born. And how did she believe? She could only believe by God working this faith in her, a faith that would believe such a crazy, miraculous thing. So everything that Elizabeth is saying is all by grace. And it prompts Mary to burst out in song. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. That's where Magnificat gets its name from. My soul magnifies the Lord, Magnificat. Why is this such a thing for her? My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Not only is she carrying the Savior of the world, she is carrying her own Savior. Can you comprehend that? Can you imagine carrying around your own salvation? Can you imagine getting on the plane, getting on the bus, crossing the street? When your salvation is right there. She recognizes in and of herself, not only am I the bearer of the salvation of the world, not only am I giving birth to God, I am carrying my own salvation. And her spirit, instead of being scared, instead of having trepidation over that, her spirit rejoices in God, her Savior. She realizes what a grace that is. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. No one's ever going to forget Mary. As much as Elizabeth seems to focus on Mary, and Mary even highlights herself for the moment, the rest of what Mary says points away from her. And it all points to God. What does she say next? For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. How does Psalm 103 say that? It says it this way. What is God's mighty hand done? Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. has done great things for me. It's a massive understatement. And so Psalm 103 fleshes some of this out for us. Who pardons your iniquities? What Mary is doing for us in this song, she is programming the whole Gospel of Luke. She is laying out for everyone who would hear this song recorded, this is the way God works. This is the way salvation happens. And yes, that promise to Abraham and to our fathers and to his descendants, that's happening right now through me. And so the rest of the Gospel of Luke follows that, follows what Mary lays down. Luke highlights women. He's the one that records this. That God would put these women in a pivotal spot in history. Mary, Elizabeth. And that's contrasted with Zechariah, who doesn't believe the angel right away and who becomes mute. But this seventh grade girl, she believes. And she will never be forgotten. Her next line, and his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. That's the line she quoted from Psalm 103. Psalm 103 said it this way, but the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. That last phrase maybe makes us a bit uncomfortable. You've got this beautiful promise. But then you've got that line, for those who fear him. And so then do I fear God or not? And then if you back up, there's all these promises he lays down. Nor has he rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Three times, fear him, fear him, fear him. I was at the seminary, and you get to write a paper, and you get to pick out what the topic is on, and well, it had to be Old Testament. So I picked that phrase, fear him. What does it mean? What's it trying to convey? It's trying to convey quite a bit. There is a literal fear of God. People are trembling on Mount Sinai. Please don't talk to us again, God. Then there is a trust. You fear God above all else. You trust in God above all else. And then there is this awe and respect you have for God. You fear him. Literal fear, trust, awe and respect. All can be wrapped up in that phrase, those who fear him. Do you fear God? There's this awe and respect you have for God. Mary alerts you to this phrase in Psalm 103, but she really wants you to have the whole psalm in your mind. Forget not his benefits. Why do you fear the Lord? Because of all those things we read. He has done great deeds for me. And so you put your trust in him. Do you fear? Do you tremble before him? The moments in which we tremble before God are the moments in which we have gone against him. When we finally realize and say in our heart of hearts, how could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And there's that fear and trepidation. What a terrible thing it is to fall into the hands of the living God. He's the one that judges the living and the dead. And so when you find yourself in that place of fear and trembling, that's when you go to repentance. That's where you go and find his forgiveness, where he pardons all your iniquities. And then that fear becomes trust, and that trust becomes awe. And all those promises where you think to yourself, well, do I fear God or not? Yes, you do. And what are all those promises? From generation to generation, from everlasting to everlasting. His loving kindness lasts over you. And that loving kindness is seen as high as the heavens are above the earth. That picture, the distance between the heavens and the earth, isn't a good enough picture of God's love for you. It doesn't do it justice. So then the psalmist tries again, as far as the east is from the west, an incomparable distance, so far have I removed your sins from you. From everlasting to everlasting, my love lasts for you. You're this fading flower. I know how weak, how humble, how lowly you are. Mary knew that. She knew. She wasn't this beautiful maiden that we have pictured in our minds. She was a humble, lowly girl. She was a fading flower. But she remembered that psalm where God says those words that remind us of Ash Wednesday, you're dust, it's all you are. But my loving kindness will go over you from everlasting to everlasting. The center of Mary's song is this line, he has lifted up the lowly. That's the center. That's the highlight. What's it contrasted with? He has cast down the rulers from their throne, but has lifted up the lowly. That's what he did for Mary. But why do we sing the Magnificat? Why would we sing someone else's words if they don't apply to us? The reason we sing them is because they apply to us. Her song is now our song because her Savior is our Savior. So how did God cast down the rulers from their thrones, and how did he lift up the lowly? Well, he did it all in the same spot. The Son of Man was lifted up on the cross. And that's how he lifted up the lowly. At the same time, that's how he cast down the rulers from their thrones. It looks like he's losing there on the cross. He's bleeding, he's dying. But there is the pardoning, the redeeming, renewing you like the eagle. That's where it all happens. That's where he brings you up from the ash heap. That's where he lifts up the lowly. And at the same time, he is tearing down everyone who opposes him. Those who do not fear him, they're cast down. She finally gets to the end of her song, and it gets to that covenant promise to Abraham. God had promised Abraham, there's this covenant's going to be an everlasting covenant. And he is remembered. His promise of mercy that he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham. And Mary is saying to everyone at that time and everyone at this time, this right here is what God promised. This is the fulfillment. This child that he has graced me to carry. This is why we sing the Magnificat. All of you who estimate yourselves as lowly, song's for you. The no name, never going to be important. Never going to amount to much. Yeah, you are. He's lifted you up. You're just as important as Christ because you're wearing his righteousness. The Lord has done great things for me. Holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him. Amen.